a 575 Park Lake Resources LLC against Park County Board of Equalization. The appellant may proceed.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. My name is John Stewart. I am the attorney for the appellants on this matter. One thing, I think you probably all received the notice I sent out last week. One of my clients, Ben L. Wright Jr., passed away the 27th of January, happened to be age 91. And I gave you the information about the opening of his estate that probably technically his personal representative should be a substitute party in this matter. I guess I'd add to what Mr. Zupka said earlier is I don't think any of Hollywood's great lawyer actors ever had a good property assessment case either. However, if any of them also got to act in Westerns, maybe they got into some mining claim issues. Because that's what we have here is this. These are issues dating back to the history of this state and its long mining history. And my clients, Ben Wright, Wright Trust and Park Lake Resources, are owners of mining claims, and they are in the mining business. They hope that someday these claims will turn into gold and silver mines, just like they and the similar properties did in the past. These are properties located very high in the mountains of Northwest Park County. Near Alma would be the closest town, near Mount Lincoln, and a very high rugged area. And at issue here is the assessment placed on these claims, which had been assessed in the range of about $95 an acre, but for the year we're challenging, 2007, that assessment shot up to as high as anywhere from $220 to more than $2,000 per acre, when in fact nothing had happened to the property. Nobody had commenced mining, nobody had built a residence, nobody had done much of anything to the properties. So that is our question, and we are appealing, of course, the decision of the BAA. You have the record of the BAA. Most of the testimony on behalf of my clients was done by Mr. Morris Reiber. Ben Wright also testified. John Reiber, who is here today, testified as well.
It doesn't seem to be an undisputed fact, but I'm not totally sure what the relationship is between the Wrights and Park Lake. Do they own Park Lake or what? I mean, these cases were tried together as if they were one case.
I understand the question. In fact, what it is that Ben Wright also is a principal of Park Lake Resources.
Thank you.
Beyond that, very similarity of issues, so that's why we combined them. But you'll notice the testimony in here indicates, again, mining purposes and not very hospitable claims. The crisis in the Collingwood, for instance, lack access, they testified. Hazards such as underground mine workings, and these mine workings can't be seen from the surface, meaning that a surface inspection of the property may not tell you nearly what you need to know about that property. Crisis claim is located on a side of a cliff and contains mining workings. The Lehigh claim, not yet reclaimed for mining. Whipple and Pratt contain a large mine dump. In fact, in this case, Ms. Gould, testifying for the county, admitted she couldn't even locate the Pratt claim. Ben Wright testified that all his properties, his six mining claims, are part of the London Mine. The London Mine is a very extensive historic mine. It's not currently being mined. Mr. Wright estimated there are at least 75 miles of underground workings underlying these claims. The bone of contention is, who would want to build a house on these claims? The county says lots of people would. And as you noted in the appraisal that was part of the county's record, second homes, summer homes, homes for people who think that Park County would be a beautiful and cheaper place to live than Summit County. Yeah, that is growing. But what we are saying is you can't just draw the assumption that that means every mining claim with a good view would make somebody a nice home. Far from it. The county introduced their comparables, and their comparables were other mining claims. and all these properties are classified as non-producing mining claims. But we don't know a lot about the county's comparables. We know the data on them, what they sold for, what their names are, where they are located. Ms. Gould testified that she did not do a surface inspection of these claims, but she did bring in the data, which was introduced of record. That means, and nothing was introduced in the record, to what are these claims like? Are they like the appellant's claims? Do they have underground mine workings, uncapped shafts that might be a danger that somebody's child might fall down them, unreclaimed metals, heavy metals, toxic acids in the soil, steep cliffs, matters like that.
Did the taxpayers put on any evidence of any of that material with respect to the comparables in an effort to attack the reliability of the comparables?
No, my clients did not introduce any evidence regarding the comparables. What my clients did, however, was attempt to produce comparables, which were other mining properties. I think there's a big distinction here between a property that might be held for future mining potential and a property you'd want to build a house on.
Well, let me ask that question. You said all of the properties, including the comparables, are also non-producing.
They are classified as non-producing.
As were the subject properties.
Yes.
So when you say, how do you know that comparable X was purchased with the idea of doing residential development or not? You wouldn't, would you?
Well, the part of my argument is we don't know much about the comparables other than their sale price. But the sales price of these comparables was used as a reason to seriously hike the assessed value of our subject mining claims. And our question is why? Because again, nothing was introduced to say that our claims were very hospitable. Mr. Weiber's attempt to introduce comparables that were mining properties were turned down by the BOE, turned down largely because, like most mining properties, they were conveyed by quitclaim deeds rather than warranty deeds, very common practice in mining. And because these properties often were fractional interests, again, a common thing that happens in mining properties, or of more than one interest.
Let me ask this. Whose burden was it once the valuation was made and you're disputing the valuation, who had the burden of persuasion that the valuation was wrong?
I believe the lead case on that would be the Sampson case that we cite, which states that the burden is upon the appellant, the petitioner, to prove that the assessment was wrong. Sampson emphasized, however, that the burden is not upon the appellant to prove an alternate valuation. Nevertheless, my clients attempted to do that, then
you're challenging the comparables that Ms. Gould used. So don't you have to then show that those comparables are not comparable? Wasn't that your burden?
Yes, it was the burden, as I say, there's nothing to go by here. My clients were not given an opportunity to inspect these comparables before the hearing.
Did you ask to have an opportunity to do that?
I'm sorry?
Did you ask to have an opportunity to do that?
Mm-hmm. I have not seen that in the record, no. But I don't believe it was available.
Do we know that from the record, that it was not available?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't.
Pardon me, Mr. Stewart.
Yes.
Piggyback on what the questions my colleagues have asked, considering how deferential our review of fact finding is in this context, I mean, you know, the law requires us to be when we look at the facts found, to be quite deferential. How can you suggest to us that the board's fact finding was inaccurate when, A, there were comparables, at least comparables that were submitted, and B, the board made the determination that your comparables weren't for a couple of reasons viable. How can we turn that around?
I would say, and I cite Colorado law to this effect, is that Colorado law has provisions that say that assessments should be based on actual use of a property. These properties do not have residents on them, and yet, you know, we are told that suddenly, out of nowhere, the assessed value goes way up.
Doesn't Colorado law also say, though, that actual value includes reasonable future use of the property?
Yes, the Arlberg case says reasonable, but the Arlberg case says, but not speculative.
And so don't we have a finding here that, by the BAA, that residential property, residential use was a reasonable use here? And I guess that goes back to Judge Bernard's question is, as an appellate court, once that finding is made and there's some, any competent evidence to support it, what can we as an appellate court do?
Well, I would say that this would be speculative use when the subject of our case here is eight mining claims, on which nobody proved anything other than that they are mining claims, and in many cases very inhospitable to residential use. As the court in Arlberg said, a reviewing court can't sit there and imagine houses and subdivisions on them. You know, there has to be a reasonable probability that that would exist. And maybe that's true of the comparables, but believe the record shows that is not true of the eight mining claims in question here. And other Colorado law, such as in the Craddock and Podol cases, says that you must examine the property's specific attributes. I don't think that it was presented that the specific attributes of the eight mining claims were the same as the specific attributes of the comparables. Very little was said about the attributes of the comparables. And I guess I would point out also the Colorado law, the Huddleston case is a good example of statements that mining properties are very special properties, different from anything else. The court in Huddleston cited Colorado law and earlier rulings that there are two early cases, which are Pilgrim and Foster, which we cite, which say there is a definite way that you assess non-producing mining properties. They cannot be assessed at a greater valuation than producing properties in the area. Ms. Gould testified that she wasn't aware of any producing properties, but she also testified that she didn't look at a very readily available source, the Department of Property Taxation's tables, which do show that there were producing mines to which these could be compared in Park County.
And did you present that to the BOE and the BAA?
The charts themselves were not introduced.
As a matter of fact, did you even argue those two older cases before the BAA? Mm-hmm. I've looked at the record and I don't see it anywhere.
Okay, they should be in the materials that would be what my clients prepared as, in effect, their statement in their brief for the BAA. I believe those are cited in there.
I'll take another look.
Mm-hmm. And so then were the values of these producing properties, mining properties, given to the BAA?
Mm-hmm. They weren't given to the BAA. The question to Ms. Gould was, had she considered them? And the answer was no, she had not.
Actually, wasn't the question asked, were there any active mining policies during the base, mining properties during the base period here? And she said no as far as she was aware.
She stated no, but then she also stated that she had never seen the charts prepared by the department.
If there were mining properties, wouldn't they have to be submitting all kinds of data to the assessor's office under the statute?
I think that's an interesting question that didn't seem to get in here. Apparently they were not, but they were presenting documents to the State Department of Property Taxation because it seemed to know all about them. Why one knew and the other one didn't, I don't know. I don't, shall I say 15 seconds for rebuttal?
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you.
It'll show 9 on your counter, but we'll give you 15.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. My name is Herbert C. Phillips, registration number 8773, and I'm the Park County Attorney. We believe that the relatively narrow issues in this case have been adequately addressed in our briefing, so I intend to be brief. We contend that this entire appeal is based on a false premise. The appellants argue throughout their opening brief and their reply brief, and apparently again today, that Park County and the BAA erred by classifying these 8 mining claims in question as residential. The difficult.
Let me interrupt for just a second.
Certainly.
I heard. I thought I heard something different, and maybe he can explain that in rebuttal. But I thought I heard a concession that classification is no longer an issue.
Well, frankly,
it wasn't the brief.
I reread the briefs and, in fact, the entire record, including the transcripts, over the weekend, and I believe that there's kind of an internal inconsistency in some of the arguments in that regard. What I do know for a fact is in the statement of the issues presented for review, they state as follows, they being the appellees or appellants in this case. Did the Board of Assessment Appeals err in the January 30, 2009 order wherein it upheld the decision of the Park County Board of Equalization to increase property taxes on the Park Lake and Wright properties by reclassifying the Park Lake non-producing mining property as residential and revaluing the Wright non-producing mining property as residential? That's the issue that the appellants presented to this court. The difficulty is that neither Park County nor the BAA ever suggested, much less held, that these properties should be classified as anything other than what they are, which is non-producing patented mining claims. This is simply not a classification case. There's absolutely no dispute in the record in this courtroom today that these 8 properties should be classified as non-producing mining claims, and that is exactly how both Park County and the BAA valued them.
And in your brief, you explained that this really is about valuation.
That's precisely right, Your Honor.
And so let's talk about valuation and the consideration, as I'm understanding Mr. Stewart's argument, regardless of whether it is about classification or valuation, the problem here is that there were comparables that residential uses were considered, and that the plaintiffs here, the petitioners here, don't feel like residential uses should have entered into the valuation at all.
We agree. Here's exactly what the BAA held in that regard, and it was supported by not some competent evidence, but we believe by all of the competent evidence in the record. The board does not have jurisdiction over the preservation of mining claims or the zoning regulations of Park County. Classification is not at issue as the subject properties were classified as non-producing patented mining claims. The only issue is valuation. When it described Ms. Gould's efforts in appraising these 2 properties, and by the way, I want to discuss that a little bit in a moment, here's what the BAA held. Respondent's witness, Ms. Christy Gould, Deputy Park County Assessor, indicated that the subject properties have difficult access to maintained access, steep to sloping topography, average to heavy tree cover, and excellent mountain views. By the way, I live within a couple of miles, I think, of all of these claims, and they do have excellent views. Ms. Gould testified that she looked for comparable properties of similar size and location within the same mining district. All her comparables are non-producing patented mining claims. None have conditional use permits. All are located below 11,500 feet in elevation or are adjusted for location above 11,500 feet and cannot be used for residential purposes. That's the critical issue I want to underscore for the court, although the court's clearly read the record and knows this itself. None of these properties that were used as comparable sales can be used for residential purposes.
Well, they can be, if they get a conditional use permit.
Correct. But when they...
Which is the same as the subject properties, right?
That's precisely right, Your Honor. The fact of the matter is that properties above 11,500 feet in Park County cannot be used for residences, period, end of story. There's no application that can be made that would change that result. Properties below 11,500 feet can potentially be rezoned and can potentially be used for residential purposes upon issuance of a conditional use permit. But none of the comparable properties considered by the assessor's office had gone through that process.
Well, is there a question, though, of whether they even conceivably could survive such a process versus the properties here, whether they could even conceivably get a special use permit? I mean, is there an issue here, and was it before the BAA, that, you know, some of those properties may in no way qualify for special use? Some may in some ways qualify for special use, and ours in no way could ever qualify for special use.
Well, I think that the comparable sales that were selected by Ms. Gould, and by the way, as you probably observed in the record, the fact that these were not secret comparables. There are photographs of them in the record. There was a comprehensive appraisal report prepared. All of them have challenges. And, you know, no comparable sale, Your Honor, is going to be identical to the subject property. That is precisely why, in her appraisal reports, Ms. Gould prepared the typical graph or typical flow chart of the subject property comparables and adjustments. And that, by the way, is precisely what the land valuation manual that's applicable, according to the Supreme Court, to all 63 county appraisers requires. It requires four steps. The first is to discover and confirm sales of patented mining claims. Second, select the appropriate unit of comparison. Third, adjust the sales price. And fourth, correlate all sales data into an indicator of market value. And that's precisely what the assessor did.
And as I understand it, it's not just select comparable pieces of property. It's you have to have a sale within the base period, isn't that right?
That is extremely important, Your Honor, because the primary reason for objecting, you know, what limited evidence was offered by the taxpayers in this case, was that the sales that were suggested for consideration were outside that base period. The testimony from Mr. Ryber was that he had a number of 2007 sales that he wanted the BAA to consider. The BAA, like the BOE and the Park County Assessor's Office, is statutorily precluded from considering those sales.
Pardon me, Mr. Phillips, but would you please be so kind as to address Mr. Stewart's argument that they had no notion of what the comparables were going to be till the hearing, which suggests that they had no way of effectively showing that they were not comparable?
The comparables in the entire report, as is required by BAA rules, were submitted approximately 3 weeks. The entire appraisal report that's in the record was submitted approximately 3 weeks before the BAA hearing, and a copy was sent to the taxpayers. That also included, of course, all of the data that you've seen in the record, as well as the photographs.
Thank you.
The standard of review in cases such as this is well settled, and that's and this is from this court's decision in Microsemi Corp. of Colorado versus Broomfield County Board of Equalization. Quote, "We may not reweigh the evidence or substitute our judgment for that of the BAA, and we may not set aside the determination unless it is arbitrary and capricious or unsupported by competent evidence." Your Honor, we believe that the BAA's decision in this case is not only supported by competent evidence in the record, it is supported by all of the competent evidence in the record, and we'd request that the BAA be affirmed. Thank you.
Bailiff, would you put 1 minute on the clock for Mr. Stewart?
Thank you, Your Honor. Very quickly, please read page 4 of my reply brief, in which I amended my issue for appeal to correct some things where we had incorrectly said that it was classified residential. I would point out, despite the argument that this is has nothing to do with residential, look at the standards used by the county. Everything begins with residential. How many building lots can be placed on the claim? Whether it has utility access. And then they deduct from the residential values the things such as steep terrain access. But something that's called mining claims is nonetheless has a baseline of residential use. Not much, if any, mention of mining use. Further, this issue of 11,500, that is a county ordinance that says you can't build above that, but it does not create a legal presumption that if you are below it, you can have a residence. You have to go a lot further than saying, hey, it's 14,490 feet, you can build a residence there. A lot more has to go into it besides that. We would request that this matter be remanded to the BAA for further consideration. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, counsel. The case is now submitted. We will issue an opinion in due course. There being no other cases on our docket today, Division 6 will stand adjourned until the next call.
All rise. Court will be in recess, subject to call.